Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I am so excited to tell you about my new favorite obsession, and it is gonna rock your world. At least it did mine, because let me tell you a story. So I just went on vacation with my family, and I get so many magazines. I have all these subscriptions, and I wanna read them. I don't have a lot of time to read. So I was meeting my family. We all went to Israel, and I brought like 20 magazines on the plane, and it was so heavy. I was carrying them around everywhere I went. And my mom was like, "You're crazy. Like, why are you doing this?" I'm like, "Because we're on vacation, summer. It's all about like reading magazines and stuff." Well, I have to tell you about the greatest service ever that I just heard of. Next Issue, okay? Nextissue.com. They make it so friggin' easy because they deliver all the best publications right to your fingertips. So the deal is, it gives you access to the most popular and trusted magazines. So like any magazine that you like or that you want to read, or maybe you don't want to pay the money for a subscription, which I actually totally get that because I feel guilt every month. I'm like, God, I didn't get to that yet. So that's why I'm sort of a magazine hoarder, which is a problem that I can talk about another time. But your favorite magazines can be enjoyed in the moment or downloaded to be read offline later. So anything you want. You check out their entire catalog. You can find exercise tips, trip ideas, top stories. I mean, think about it. If you're into sports, ESPN, Sports Illustrated, into fashion, they've got Allure, Vogue, Elle, Cosmo, 19 others. And if you're in entertainment, People, Rolling Stone, Us Weekly. I'm like getting excited actually just reading, like telling you these names because this is what my house, I'll have like room for more clothes. Okay, so Next Issue is also an incredible value because one subscription gets you so many magazines for as little as $10 a month. And you can use that in up to 5 devices. So for example, when you're on vacation or you're just with a friend, you can be like, "Can I read that People when you're done with it?" You can both be reading it at the same time. This is brilliant. And as a special deal for Sex with Emily listeners, you get your free 30-day trial at nextissue.com/EM. That's nextissue.com/EM, as in Emily, so M as in Mary. And read up. I mean, just check it out because you're going to be obsessed. It's all going to be on your smartphone or your iPad, and you don't have to deal with magazines. You can pick and choose and just read about everything that you want and love in your life. So check it out, nextissue.com/EM. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
To Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out all of our podcasts, sign up for our mailing list. You really, really should because we send an awesome newsletter. I give it email, I gotta say. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. It's All Sex with Emily, and I love you all. Thank you for listening. And today's show, this is a really special show, not just because Menace is here.
Hello, everybody.
How what up, Menace? We've got a little panel going on here.
I know.
Which we're going to introduce in a second, but we have to catch
like
up.
Like a billion people up in the studio. I can't hear them now, but
we haven't
in a bit.
Done this before.
Well, so many voices.
We are tackling a very important topic today.
Okay.
We're talking about casual sex, which is on the rise.
And on the rise?
Well, I mean,
well, probably thanks
in the
to
last
Tinder
20 years,
like that,
thanks
yeah.
to Tinder, I've got this amazing article that I'm going to read news about Tinder, which is just literally changing. Not only is there a rise in people hooking up, but also a rise in STDs. Imagine that. But also connections. The whole thing about Tinder is that it's just changed the way people are meeting, dating. They're saying it's curing loneliness. Have you been, you know, you've had a girlfriend since Tinder.
Yeah, so I
You'd
mean,
be killing it on Tinder, dude, if you
I
didn't
know.
Have a girlfriend.
I sign up all my buddies that are not on Tinder and then help them, like, make their profiles and stuff like that. And then sit and watch them, you know, like see if anybody
did it work?
Likes them back. And it totally works. Like within 5 minutes of setting up a profile, they were already talking to somebody.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It's insane.
But you were talking about STDs. I was just
Depressing part, guys. I don't want to lead with the STD part. I'm glad people are hooking up.
I was checking out this article and they said just in like New Jersey that STDs are on the rise, like a crazy number, and they all blame Tinder.
Yeah, exactly.
But I blame the, you know, it's a small population. You know, and probably few people are on Tinder using it, and they're all hooking up with the same people.
Just because everyone's hooking up. And the interesting thing is, and they say here, okay, so according to a 2002 U.S. general survey, social survey, there's been an increase both casual sex and sex with acquaintances since the 90s. So from 1990 to now, to 2012, casual sex, so in the 90s, it was 32% people were having casual sex, 37% now. Friends with benefits, 30% then, 41% now.
I think also all the surveys back then, I think people were lying.
No,
you know?
No, but
they weren't going to be honest.
You always think people are lying.
Because I think people were probably a lot more uptight back then and didn't want to say, like, they want to be considered
it just,
floozy.
You know, I don't know if it was even that uptight. You weren't oriented that way. Like, I know in college it was like you slept with someone and you got... To be honest, like in my 20s, I was in relationships. Like I was a serial monogamist, believe it or not. I did cheat, you know that. I'm a mm-hmm. former cheater. But I was committed two and a half years. And it wasn't like casual sex. Yeah, it wasn't accepted. It wasn't like people would just go on a date and like be like, yeah, I'm dating 5 guys. You just wouldn't say it. And now it's like if someone's in a relationship at 24, you're like, really? And part of me can, you know, think that I don't think you should get married until you're 30 anyway. You know I believe that. I think we change a lot in our 20s. I think that it's not a bad thing to date around and figure out who you are and what you want. So I kind of wish I could... Well, I guess I am doing it over my friends. Well, I would say I'm like 20 now.
We'll talk about it more with our panel of people.
So here. So how have you been?
I've been great. I'm very upset with you, by the way, though.
Why?
You haven't posted photos of my dog yet on your Instagram, and I sent them over to your staff. But, you know, whatever.
Dude, Okay,
it's cool. You know, you hate my dog. It's fine. Whatever.
I'm so... First of all, you are the most private person in the whole world that I feel like I'd have to get, like, a release form signed to picture of your dog on Instagram. But your dog is really, really friggin' cute.
Thank you.
We'll do it. Madison will probably do it right now
all
as
right,
we're talking.
Sweet.
But congratulations on that. It's like your
Thank
first
you.
Child. So
now
does that mean you guys are going to have a baby soon? Because that's what couples
no.
do. Yes, you get a
no
dog and then
way.
You get a baby. Yeah,
Hell
dude,
no.
it happens.
No, we already have a bunch of vacations coming up and... We already have dog sitters and stuff like that.
That doesn't mean that you can't have a child.
We're very anti-child.
You just...
So...
Okay, so maybe you'll just have a dog and be one of those people that, like, dresses it up and, like,
yeah,
our baby.
Already,
and, like, you send out Christmas cards with pictures.
We already bought outfits and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, my God.
So.
You used to laugh at me when my dog had outfits.
No, I laughed at you because you should not have a dog.
Well, you were right.
At all.
You were right.
You can barely take care of yourself.
Exactly.
Why are you going to have a dog?
Well, because it was a mistake. My friend, she's a vet.
How long did the dog last? You
Two
had a
years.
Good... Yeah, good.
No, we had a good run. I mean,
yeah,
she's with a run. Wonderful family right now. There's a lot going on in my life.
That dog, by the way, farted on me, and I'm still offended by it.
I used to bring her to the studio. It was very cute. Yeah. But speaking of Instagram, Menace. So I did a big a workshop last night at Hustler Hollywood, which was friggin' amazing. It was oral sex workshop, oral sex 101. And it was for men and for women. So I taught about fellatio and cunnilingus, which... I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to. But in 2005, when we started the show, we were on a live show. We were on Free FM radio. And I said cunnilingus, and you did not know what it was.
Well, you were like, you were ahead of your time on the cunnilingus.
No, you think I made up cunnilingus?
Term.
You were. You think I made it up? Yeah. You think I just came like in that day?
You were a pioneer.
I'm like
of
Kinsey.
The term
I'm like Kinsey.
Cunnilingus.
But so last night, it was packed room. I mean, there were so many fans there because, you know, I don't do a lot of live things. And this one woman, McKenna. Right? McKenna, right? Madison? Yeah. McKenna, she's an awesome fan. She's been a fan for a long time of the show. She's like, I just need to know what meant. He's so cute. Like, you hadn't posted enough pictures of him, and then I saw him, and he's really, really cute, and like, why don't you post a lot of pictures of him? So I'll post a picture of you and your dog for McKenna. And thank you.
No, just post a picture of the dog. You know I hate taking photos.
People don't see you.
It's cute. I know. Keep it that way.
Okay. So I think we should... Well, I've got a little to introduce this topic. I am going to read a little sex of the news, and then I'm going to get into our people here.
Okay, cool. Because okay. They're all staring at us right now while we talk.
I love them. I'm so glad they're here. This is going to be fun. Okay. This is important. An unfathomable amount of people are getting laid from Tinder, according to these stats. So speaking at the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity, the co-founder of Tinder, Sean Rad, claimed that in... the 2.5 years Tinder has existed, they've already facilitated over 8 billion matches.
Jeez.
2 billion in just the past 2 months. So Tinder is now up to 16,000 swipes per second, which means a truly unfathomable amount of people are getting laid via Tinder these days. By the way, this is an interesting fact. It's the same co-founder who was ousted as CEO by Barry Diller, CEO of IAC, parent group of Tinder, after Sean Rad was caught drawing Diller's initials in the shape of a cock and balls. Do you remember this story?
Come on.
No, really. Sean Rad still remains president of Tinder and a director within the company. He sounds like a good, fun guy, okay?
Yeah.
Right? Anyone who comes with Tinder.
So uptight.
As of April, right, what the hell? As of April, Tinder has a total of 6 billion matches, according to its downloaded page in iTunes, which translates to 195 million matches per month. Insisting that one of the missions of Tinder was not about seeking sexual partners, but to cure human loneliness. He said, the people that you really...
Yeah, right. That's always the cover-up.
Well, it's kind of true, though.
For every hookup out there. Oh, we just want you to meet
people.
Well,
I mean, if you're lonely, you want to have sex or eat a pint of Ben & Jerry's. Or both at the same time. I don't know. The people that you meet really shape who you are. Every person you meet has the potential to change your life. We all have the sense of belonging, community, get close to the world, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But now everyone's hooking up, so that's the point. And then curing loneliness, perhaps. As a company, to operate that kind of scale is fascinating because he's very proud of all these numbers, as you can imagine, when your audience is so global and diverse. The average user spends 11 minutes a day on Tinder, and with 16,000 swipes a second, 1.4 billion swipes a day, and 2 billion matches in the last 2 months, he finds it outrageous Tinder is currently valued at the 5 billion range. It's not just a hookup app.
It's okay. Crazy.
So let's introduce our panel, and I'm going to talk about
some... Can I say something real quick? I'm sorry, guys.
Please do.
But this came out actually a couple hours ago in the news that these teens overseas, they came up with a condom that changes color and it can detect STDs.
No way.
And like for each STD, it's a different color. So
are you serious? Does it glow in the dark? It'd be better if they were glow-in-the-dark colors.
Glow-in-the-dark, but I don't think that's the main point of
well,
it.
Well, all I'm thinking is if you're having sex with someone and you're like, it's green, you won't really see if the lights are out. You're like, you have chlamydia.
Yeah.
So it should just be a glow-in-the-dark. I mean, I don't mean to, okay, but it's a great idea.
I'll
sorry, man.
These teens who managed to figure out how to figure out if you have an STD and say, look, this thing sucks because it doesn't glow in the dark.
I'm like the investor in the room going, really? That's a good idea, but have you, who's your, no, that's a great idea, actually.
Yeah,
that is brilliant.
Pretty insane, so
but I wonder how it works. Like, because sometimes doctors can't even detect if you've been, you know, if you have herpes.
Yeah, but
it doesn't
you know what?
Up.
It's better than nothing.
It's brilliant. No, I think that's actually brilliant. I'd
so
like to invest in the company and then make
and
it glow in the dark.
And 13-year-old are going to be billionaires, and I would like to go on the condom private jet soon once they get
that
their,
is really, really smart.
Get money.
Because you know what? The thing is, people lie. Oh, no, I'm totally good. I got tested last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, like, no,
how the hell
your
do you know?
Turned green, you have syphilis.
Yeah, you're like, syphilis, I'm out. See ya, you know? Like,
lying
really,
bastard.
That is really great. And another news story that came out, which isn't on here, which I just think is funny. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this real quick. Did you hear that the founder of Match.com, who met his partner on Match.com, mm-hmm. She cheated on him and left him for a guy that she met on Match.com?
I did know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that's sort of... sad.
Her name was Emily Morris.
I didn't know, dude. I'm
just kidding.
I don't cheat anymore.
Anyways, let's introduce
I gave that
our
up.
Panel.
Okay, guys. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being here. Okay, to my left. First, I'm going to start with, okay, so we've got Because I figured we got to have a dialogue of people actually engaging in casual sex or have, you know, flirted with it. So let's talk about it. We've got Justin Gunn. Justin.
Hello.
Say hello.
That's hello. A name, Justin Gunn.
Yeah. It's quite a name. Justin I know from San Francisco. He used to work at Current TV.
Oh, sweet.
And we met 10 years ago. We actually dated.
We did.
Whoa, no.
Was it casual, though?
I would say it was casual, how do I know if it was exclusive?
I'm trying to think if I slept with anyone else. I don't think maybe. I don't.
You know what? I think we were casual flirting with seriousness.
Right.
I think that's what we did.
Right. And it was a good time. And then we hadn't seen each other in 10 years.
It was probably the better part of a year.
Yeah.
We probably hung out.
That was a really good year.
Yeah, it was a great year.
Yeah.
No commitment, though.
We went to Coachella together. Remember that?
Oh, dude. He's the guy I'd
said. No, the Coachella. Dude, you're infamous.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Justin.
You're a Coachella guy?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What can of worms did I just open?
I've told the story how we had sex backstage.
For 10 years.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I've told the story.
Here, everybody.
It doesn't get much more casual than that.
Yeah.
You know, because typically at Coachella, you're in shorts and sundresses.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, we were, but then we had sex backstage. But do you remember where or who was playing or anything?
It wasn't in the butt, was it?
No.
It was probably.
You mean geographically where?
Geographically.
Yeah.
Where.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So that's kind of a big deal because I've talked about that. That was a big moment in my life.
Every year Coachella comes up because I have to go to Coachella for work, and I go, I'm going to Coachella. She's like, I had sex backstage.
He brings it up too. That was fun.
That was fun. Thank you for reminding me of that.
So anyway, Justin and I haven't seen each other in a while, and I ran into you in LA, and we're both here now. So that's awesome.
And it's wonderful.
It's great.
Great to see you again.
Great to see you too, and thanks for coming on the show, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going?
I just met Jordan. Jordan, you are... Oh, and Justin's 41.
Yes.
You're 25.
25, correct.
And you live in LA.
Yes.
And are you you're casually dating now?
Only casually dating.
Okay.
No...
How are you meeting people?
Variety of ways. I kind of go off and on each month. Sometimes it's the apps. Sometimes it's the bar scene. But
Craigslist
is very shady. And
Craigslist is how it started, right?
Yeah, just don't meet in those random Starbucks because they're next door. Yeah.
So you use all the apps?
Yes. I don't date long term. It's just always short term or friends with benefits.
Do you ever want that? Or are you just
no.
Never.
Nope.
You've never had it?
I don't like caring about myself on a daily basis. I don't have time to care about someone else.
That's how I felt about a dog.
Yeah,
I totally get it.
So I'm selflessly selfish in that
And sense. Do you tell the girls that right away?
Yeah, straight
You're
up.
Like, hey, you're so nice to meet you. You want to drink? You want to drink beer? Okay, so listen, this is just casual.
Yeah, 100%.
And then do you find that they're kind of turned out? Like they're like, me too.
It's a variety.
You've probably had a variety of things happen.
Yeah, it's a lot of different angles, but usually it works out.
Okay.
It's just tough to find them.
Tough to find them?
Yeah, I mean, in a bar, if you go up to five girls, let's say, one's like, oh, you're an asshole. Two is like, oh, that's really douchey to say. And then the three's like, oh, I can kind of see that, maybe in a little bit.
Right, and then you call
Uber.
They
keep moving down. Yeah, I'm just like, no, okay, you're
back
done.
To my house,
move down the line, and then eventually it's like, oh, I'm just here to have fun tonight. Boom, thank you.
Let's go. I'm in. Okay, wait, I got to go back to Justin for 1 second because I didn't ask you about this.
Yeah.
So you are dating.
No, I'm not. I actually...
In the past, you have.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Just finish. Keep going.
No, you know, it's interesting because I came out of a relationship about 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a full solid year of exclusivity. And prior to that, this was someone that was in my life, also named Emily, by the way.
Uh-oh. You should have just known then to run. Okay.
But prior to that, you know, we'd been in each other's lives for many years. We were together for a couple of years. Then we were not together, kind of off and on. So I'm actually kind of fresh back on the scene. And all of these things, these technologies, all of this stuff is actually pretty new.
Okay. But in the past, though, let's say before that, I feel like when I met you, you were kind of like a stud. Doing things. No?
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
No, you have that fancy loft. I walked in. There's porn. My friend, she's like, Justin, that guy you walked in and there was porn on the TV. You were having a party and there was porn on the TV. Walked in. I'm like, hey, you were the party guy, but we'll get into that. Okay.
Yeah.
So next we have Tara.
Hi.
Hi, Tara. Tara's actually my new assistant as well. And she is... You've flirted with casual sex and dating?
I've had casual sex. Not recently.
Right. But in the past, you've dated casually. And what about earlier on? Were you in a committed relationship? You're 41 today. Happy birthday. Woo! We have cupcakes here.
There are cupcakes here. Thank
previously, you have been casual. Were you committed? Were you
Yeah, I'd say the first better half of my 20s was, I'm definitely the opposite of you, Dan. Not a serial monogamist, not back then. So yeah, good portions of my 20s and 30s were spent that way.
Casually. Okay, and then we have Lori.
Hi.
My fantabulous intern.
Hey.
Lori is 27. Tell me about what's up with you now? How many guys are you banging?
I'm currently banging zero. Just recently I was banging one or two, and then now I'm banging neither of them because they're huge assholes.
Really? Mm-hmm. What happened?
Just like, well...
She got to know them.
Exactly. No, like, I'm over it. It's fine.
Okay. But I remember there was one of them helped you test out the...
That is one of the huge assholes. Yeah.
What was it? It was the Flex.
It was the Flex.
It was the Crave Flex vibrator.
You know, we'll probably still have sex in the future. But that's my feeling about it right now.
He's an asshole, but then I'll still have sex with him. Like, what's up with that? Why is he an asshole?
Because she's I can separate sex from how I feel about him.
You can separate sex from assholes.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. In a way.
Yeah, but I'd say,
going back to Justin's point. Okay.
I'd say historically, though, I'm about 50-50 with the relationship casual sex thing. Like, I've had several serious long-term relationships and then several years of just casual sex.
And are you okay with that, or is a part of you like, God, I want... Do you have that yearning, like, but I'd like to find one guy?
Straight up want to find one guy. Yeah. Okay. Like, I hella go for the relationship, just it doesn't always happen that way, and I'm cool with it.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm total romantic. Really, I usually catch feelings.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm one of those. Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. Manus, what about you? Before you had this girlfriend, which just ruined my life.
Oh, whatever.
Just kidding. Because it used to be more like fun talking about hooking up. No, it's cool. I'm glad you're in a relationship and happy to have a dog. No, but whatever. You're just going to have... You have nothing to say. You don't talk about
it. What do you mean? No.
Well, before this.
I think when it casual sex, I don't know how it is for women. I think... probably a lot easier and quicker if they wanted to have casual sex, but guys are just lame and dumb and dumb.
The only thing that keeps heterosexual men from having sex all the time is women.
See, yeah, I don't know that.
No, also themselves, because they don't even pick up on like cues that a woman is actually interested in them because they're that dumb.
A lot of times, men.
Maybe late 20s and then early 30s. That's when a lot of the casual sex started happening.
Yeah, no, it's true, because this is
too afraid and shy, and this girl's not into me, and like questioning everything.
Right.
Maybe, I mean, not all people are the same, but at least that's what was happening for me.
Got it. Okay, so I have a little definition here if people are confused. What is casual sex? I'm going to define three different types of casual sex scenarios. It's a sexual activity between people who are not established sexual partners or do not know each other very well. A one-night stand, a sexual relationship lasting only one night. Imagine that. Friends with benefits, a friend in which you are allowed sexual activity but no true relationship is involved. The benefit is purely sexual, not to be tied with feelings. And then there's the almost relationships or the almost boyfriend, which I talked about earlier with this year with Annie Daly. She writes for the New York Post, and she called me about it for a press story. And she's like, have you heard about this almost boyfriend thing? I'm like, well, what's the difference? And it's kind of like a friends with benefits, but you spend a lot of their time together and may or not be seeing other people, but they're fully committed. But it's not really an open relationship. They might meet your parents. I don't know. It's kind of a loop. I think people are just kind of trying to come up with new terms. But is it really that everyone's just looking for the bigger, better deal, you think? Or are people just really just interested in having sex right now, like more sex?
I want to have sex all the time. I feel like I have a really high sex drive.
Okay.
But I'm also like super commitment minded. So this is like my lifelong struggle, because I always want to have sex, but to find a relationship takes time, and I cannot.
But if you're also sleeping with multiple people, doesn't it become kind of confusing?
I feel like I do a lot of casual, but I do one at a time. I don't typically sleep with more than one person in succession. I go from one to the next to the next. Sometimes it's quick, but they don't really overlap.
Right.
Why
okay.
Why do you don't think they work out?
What's the problem? I wish I knew. I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe it's me.
I don't know. Okay, here's the thing, you guys. The thing that I always think about casual sex and friends with benefits is that it has a shelf life. Like, it can't really go on forever.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. No, the same with the same person because
it
usually ends up that one person wants more. And it's not only the chicks, Justin. Sometimes the women want guys want more than the woman does.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
Because you were saying women. I mean, I know that you were kidding when you were saying, oh, guys. But I think some of it's true that guys would just sleep around until women are like, hey.
Yeah, I mean, just generally speaking, I think there is sort of – I think this issue divides along gender roles, you know, pretty starkly, where I think if you pull – you know, 100 guys and 100 women, I think you're going to find that typically more men will be pro casual sex than women will be as far as like not having a relationship, just kind of hooking up. It's very sort of male, genetically, it's sort of a male centric behavior. It's almost like the trend of casual sex is sort of validating like historical, like evolutionary behavior ingrained in men.
Right, exactly.
Which is not to say that women can't enjoy it too, and clearly they do. You know what I suspect? I suspect that because I'm 41 and when I grew up, if you wanted to get a look at a porno movie or a naked picture, you had to, you know, 12 years old, summon up the courage and go up to the newsstand and buy a porno mag, you know, which I did.
I'm sure you did.
With my older brother hiding around the corner, peeking around, you know, seeing what's going on.
Right.
But today, it's everywhere. The internet is awash in pornography, and you can see absolutely everything. And it's interesting because when I have dated below my age, at, you know, with girls in their 20s, their attitudes towards sex and sexual freedom are so much different than girls, you know,
That's what I'm saying. It's a totally different thing. So
it's
they
totally
really
different.
Are more open to. They're like, hey, it's cool, whatever. Because
it's not a secret. It's not as taboo. I mean, you look at, you know, an extreme example in Saudi Arabia, where everybody's, you know, completely covered up in, you know, head to toe, and the guys are all freaking out, and the people's relationships with sex is all whack and weird. Here, you know, and increasingly with younger generations, where it's open and it's available and it's everywhere, it's almost not such a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is what I wonder, because I do agree that men and women are both on board with it more in their 20s. Like, I know that when I was in my 20s, I wouldn't be like, yeah, I'm banging five guys right now, I'm doing this or that. Like, it would be like, I don't know, maybe we were, but we weren't talking about it. We were going towards relationships. But then I've also, like, you know, read a lot of stories, books, but, like, women are kind of just falling out with men, but they aren't as comfortable with it. That it sort of feels like it's not natural. Mm-hmm. And then, but I think it also, with, you know, I don't know, what do you guys think? Is it something that you felt like you're, or is it more that you're okay with it until you have feelings and then you want more?
There's so many things. I mean, me growing up, it was the 90s when I was in my 20s. So yeah, like what you were saying, there was, even if you were dating, juggling multiple men at once, it's not something you bragged about.
Or talked about.
Right. Maybe guys did, but it's that whole stigma with being a woman. You're going to be looked down on, like, oh, that's the slutty one.
Right.
But hasn't that changed? I don't think it's changed.
I don't think it's changed as much as it should have.
Okay, let's ask Jordan here. He's 25. Jordan, what do you think? Are these girls are they slutty? Or are they?
They do. It has changed. I get to the point usually, especially with like a friends with benefits situation, where it does get to that feeling point. And so far, it has not been from my side. It's normally them. And at that point, it's more of a, I kind of warned you in the beginning, like I wasn't looking for this, and it unfortunately does end. But occasionally, like long term, like I forgot to mention it, that you bring them back around later on. They're like, oh, wow, like what we had was like kind of cool. Like I did the dating.
Do you bring them back?
No. They initiate the contact. Yeah. And I'm not going to, like, I know it's not great for their psychiatric area, but for me, it's like.
But I'm not paying the bills.
Yeah. For me, it's more like, hey, look, like it's your choice. Like I already warned you. You definitely know what you're jumping in with. It's not me searching out for it.
So it's interesting because I wonder if women typically, you know, and this goes both ways again, but women think, well, I can change them. I'll be the one, Jordan. Like, you're going to be a challenge for me. Yeah, you say you don't want something committed, but you're going to fall in love with me. And you're like, no, didn't happen. Yeah.
They always think that, too.
They always do.
Part of the chase for them, absolutely.
Both ways.
Yeah, it does go both ways, but typically.
I can fix him.
Yeah, I'm going to fix him, and it almost is like. Yeah. Well, that's kind of
been PC today.
I know. It's so weird. Who are you? You got a dog and now you're being PC?
I've been beat up by the PC police all week.
No, I get it. I am too. But I have to say that it's interesting just because I typically was the one who didn't want really. I would get into them, but I was like, the guy was saying to me, like, oh, do you want a relationship? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I will because you want it, but I don't. And then it's funny because the more I would say, like, I'm really not looking for anything, they would want more.
Oh, that's so true.
And it's like
so
that true. Whole thing in life, you want what you can't have. But I'm not like the typical normal female in that way. But do you find that as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
That they're always like, that there are the women, it's like bait. It's like, what is it? Like catnip.
Catnip,
like,
yeah.
The second you say like, I don't want it, they're like.
I want more. Yeah. And it's tough to deflect because like you kind of like, you know they care about you. And it's, like, not the best thing to, like, ruin their feelings, but the
what
same
What happened
time.
In your childhood, though? Your parents married?
No, divorced.
Divorced. Yeah. Okay. So you didn't see, like, a model of a really great relationship.
I've seen
what age What age were you when they were divorced?
We're going to have you lie down on the couch like
an animal. Yeah, so let's therapist this out.
And then you're
going
to have sex with someone here. No.
Oh, it's fine. It's only like 15 years.
It's an interesting point. How old were you when your parents were divorced?
Five. Okay. So
yeah, my parents are happily married and have been my whole life. So I feel like I'm looking for that.
Okay.
That's my idea of it.
Right. What about you, Tara?
They divorced, but I was in my 20s. Okay. I was already living out here. So.
See, I'm not even sure. Everyone always talks about, like, well, I want to be with... I was talking to a guy friend. He's like, I want to be with a girl whose parents are still married because then she's just got a lot of issues or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, I have friends even now who are like, their parents are divorced. You know, maybe they never knew their dad or whatever it is. And then parents have been together forever. And the people whose parents have been together forever... they're having problems finding someone because they're like, I want it to be the love like my parents have. And then there's people who are like, oh, well, relationships don't work. So I don't think, I mean, of course your childhood has a major impact on who you are, but I don't know if it's, I think this casual sex thing is just, you know, taking over.
Well, I think it stands to reason that if somebody is raised with, you know, two loving parents in a longstanding relationship and that's sort of the model that you have and you look up to that and you aspire to that, I'd imagine that you'd be less inclined to sort of like have casual sex and meaningless kind of hookups because that's something that you're deep down trying to attain in your own life.
But what if it's not even available now? Like, is it really even, do you guys have, do friends like in your 20s?
Do you really think that's true? Like, it's not even, like just that ship has sailed?
I think it's available, but I think, no, I do think that you can find someone, but if people are oriented more towards like, it's going to be, it might be harder to find. Like, do you find like, Jordan, like, I mean, I know you don't want it, but how long do these relationships typically last before these women are like?
Longest, maybe 2 months.
Yeah, that's about the shelf life. That makes sense.
And like, even in my friend bracket, like all my friends, there's only one that's actually in a long-term committed relationship. Everyone else is like shelf life average 6 to 9 months, but more it's more one night stands, 1 week. Like that's about it.
But do you
it.
Ever want more? Like, does a part of you ever want that commitment and that intimacy? You haven't had it yet, so you don't know.
No. I see it through like reality TV. It's great on TV, and I'm just like, oh.
You know, on The Bachelor.
Jesus. Oh, The Bachelor.
The Bachelor. Yeah,
hey, like if
example.
Caitlin popped in the stream right now, I might change my mind straight up because I love that chick. But people out in the real world, not yet.
Caitlin, yeah. And you know what? You'd be tired of banging her too after a while. What's that saying?
Like, what?
Find a hot girl in the bar, and I'll show you a hot.
Show me the hottest. Show me the hottest woman in the world, and I'll show you at least one guy who's tired of banging her.
Exactly, yeah. Which is really depressing. But the thing is, okay, one of my favorite quotes, and I'm sorry, it's from Annie Hall because I know Woody Allen is not that popular right now, but it is my favorite quote. And he says it was Alvy Singer. Did you guys all see Annie Hall by chance? Best movie of all times. Okay. A relationship, I think, is like a shark, you know? It has to constantly move forward or it dies. And I think what we got on our hands is a dead shark. And I think that's what happens a lot with these friends. Eventually, someone's going to, you know,
It reminds me of another quote, which is, love is like a fart. If you have to force it, it's probably shit.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
That's really a good beautiful. One. That was really eloquent. You bring it to the men to bring up bodily functions.
Also, you shouldn't settle into a relationship. I think a lot of people settle into a relationship.
Oh, lots of people.
And then, like, 15 years later, they wake up and are like, oh, my God, this has been terrible this entire time. And then they finally get the courage to break it off, you know?
I agree.
Keep on going out there and hooking up with people. But if you finally find somebody that you think is really cool and awesome, then yeah, you should probably stick with them.
It's the other end of the spectrum because I think what used to be happening or what could still happen now. And again, I grew up in Michigan. All my friends in Michigan are married. Or actually, this is now they're getting divorced now because it's been like 15
years.
Shelf life.
But what I'm saying is people who get married in their 20s, typically, it's just we change so much. And we maybe, you know, things happen. You have kids, you get busy, and then you just, I don't know, a lot of people get divorced after 10, 15 years.
That's true. I'm from a small town on the East Coast, and everyone I know got married real young, and they're all divorced now.
So, right, exactly. So it's kind of hard to find, like, what do you, you know, the balancer. That's why I say wait until you know yourself better, because the other thing is, like people in smaller towns, not in the big cities, they think, okay, well, I've got it. I've dated you. We've had sex. We've been dating for 3 months. This is it. And maybe they haven't even experienced that much sex. You know, they haven't been dating as many other people. And then they like become, they're in their 40s and they're like, oh, I want to bang someone else. Like I've had sex with the same person forever.
Yeah, my parents have been together my whole life, but they were both divorced from other people. So, like, the one that worked was the second time around. Like, they both came from previous marriages, and now, like, they're my idea of a perfect relationship and marriage. But
that was their starter marriage. That was their,
yeah, it was the second time. The yeah, second usually try.
That's why you get a little starter marriage thrown away. I should be married and I should already be divorced by now, at least. But I never wanted to get married. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, this is all going to turn to sex, people, because it is sex family. Okay, guys, you know that I love my magic wand vibrator. Can anyone chime in here? Anyone ever had experience with a magic wand? It plugs into the wall. Yeah? No?
Yes.
Okay.
Love it.
It is the Cadillac of all vibrators. It's been around for 30 years.
Is this the one I found under my mom's bed when I was a little kid? The giant thing with the big ball on the end? Mm.
Exactly. Good job there, Justin, when you were, looking for stuff in your parents' room. That's it. Vibratex, the sex toy company that brought you the original magic wand and the Dahlia, and the rabbit habit. It is now, this is a very big announcement, it is now, you can get it unplugged, rechargeable magic wand. So it's the same power, it is improved, it's did you use yours, Lori?
I did. I love it.
That's your next review.
Right. The magic wand. There's like one spot in my apartment that I like to masturbate in. It's on my bed.
And there's no plug nearby.
There's no plug nearby. No, exactly. There's zero plugs. So if I were to use the old magic wand, I would not have been able to do it at my favorite spot.
Exactly. But there you have it. I mean, it's kind of a big deal because the thing is, it's such a powerful vibrator that's why it's had been around for 30 years and everyone loves it, but it's kind of like, what if we're going camping? Like, what do we do? But now you don't have to worry about it because there's no cord, there's no limits to where and how you can enjoy it. And the new magic wand has smoother silicone head, the little ball at the top, plus 4 intensity settings, 4 amazing vibration patterns. The other one was I'm not saying you can't still have the cord swing because it's freaking awesome. But now it has different vibration patterns. It's just more modernized and cool.
The silicone's body safe on the thing.
Exactly. Now you can choose between the simplicity of the original magic wand and the convenient portability of the rechargeable. Lauren Moore, find out more and what other wand lovers have to say, which I think this website's awesome. Go to magicwandrechargeable.com. Because it shows you all these people like from after 30 years and they're talking about like their experiences with it and now what they think about the rechargeable. It's really cool. Check it out. Are you ready to go unplugged? Check it out. Magicwandrechargeable.com. Do that. And don't worry, guys. I've got something for you, too. I've got to tell you about the Fleshlight.
Big fan.
Are you a big fan?
Yeah, I like the homemade version.
The homemade version, which is your hand?
No. It's like a cup and then some silicone and then some other
cup. Can we get this man a Fleshlight? Do you know? Oh, my God.
I would gladly take one.
What? I have literally hundreds of them in my office. Okay. So Fleshlight is a male masturbation sleeve, and you might be thinking, I've got my hand. Why do I need it? But this masturbation sleeve feels amazing. From every single guy from the show who's listened and bought it, friends I've given it to, it simulates the feeling of actually having sex. And it's tight around your penis. What were you going to say, Amanda? You want one now, finally?
No, I was talking about... Aren't they based out of Nashville, right?
They're in Texas.
Oh, in Texas.
Okay. I'm actually going to go watch them. There's going to be some porn stars, and their vagina will be molded. They have to stand there, and I'm going to go witness that and do a video.
I was telling my coworkers that you invited me to take the tour, and they said that I should do it.
You should. It's in Austin, too. It's a good time. We're going to go. So the thing is that they have all these different patterns. If you like a particular porn star, you could buy one that way. You could also buy the Fleshlight Stamina Training Unit if you want to last longer in bed. They're all different ridges and feelings. Like, it's just like having sex. It feels like you're having sex with, like, a bunch of different people if you buy a bunch of different Fleshlights.
I saw one that, looked like Yoda or something like that.
Is that the one that you want? When's your birthday? Yeah, October. I'll get you.
Feels good, it does.
I want the Yoda one.
So it's funny because, the Fleshlight, you have amazing orgasms, and literally, it's like, I know you use your hand, I know you might have sex, but it's just a great thing to... We have vibrators, so guys might as well try something different. You add some lube to it, it's sex in a can. That's could be even better than sex. I know that it's really easy to clean, all that stuff. I am messaging one to Jordan right after the show. Check it out, though, you guys. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, use coupon code Emily, and you get a free bottle of their award-winning Flesh Lube. And I just have to say that last night at my Hustler Hollywood event, we were giving some away, and everyone in the audience was, freaking out. They won them. They heard about it on the show, and we gave a bunch away, and it was a very happy crowd.
Sweet.
Yeah, okay. Hi, peoples. Back to our panel. We gotta get into sex, okay? So I want to know about... First of all, do you guys practice safe sex in these casual relationships? Be honest.
Always.
Jordan, I don't believe you. Really?
Always.
You carry condoms with you all the time?
All the time.
Hell no. Let me see your pockets right now.
Oh, it's in my backpack.
Oh, okay.
Bring that backpack with me everywhere.
Okay.
Really? Okay, but one thing, just a little note, a public service announcement, is that you shouldn't actually carry condoms in your wallet because they can disintegrate and... you know, they got sticky. Like if you open it and there's like sticky, messy, they're like, don't use it.
So what is the best place to carry them?
The best place is just to, I guess.
Just wear it out.
You know,
just
it's
wear it out.
Just wear it.
That's easy.
Before you go out.
Yeah.
The truth is the glove compartment's a really bad place. Mm-hmm. So hopefully women are comfortable with that. Wherever you're at, they should just be condoms everywhere. Like if you have toilet paper, you should have condoms. What about you, ladies?
I agree. They're in my purse right now.
You never know what's going to happen on the way home from the studio.
You guys have right? a purse, so the guys need to carry around. Like,
they're in all.
But I think there's a stigma. What do you think, Lori? Like,
I usually carry them, but I will be honest. There have been a couple occasions that it didn't get used. Like,
just a couple.
I mean, I feel like the latex bothers me. And when I'm hella drunk, I will take that and run with it.
Okay.
The fact that the latex
bothers
me.
Well, it's interesting that you said that because there are non-latex condoms, which you should grab skin.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are like my new favorite condoms, SKYN. You should know this for all the people you guys are banging or potentially banging, that a lot of women do have allergies to latex skin. It's polyisoprene, and it's a different material than latex, and they actually feel really, really good. They're soft and they're thin, but they're super durable. You should get all over that.
Just use saran wrap. You'll be good.
Yeah. Don't listen to any tips like that for menace. So, okay, a question for the ladies here. Studies have shown, and I know this typically, that women want to feel safe and they want to feel comfortable. And when they're with somebody, they always say that the sex you have with someone that's more casual is not as good as when you're in a committed relationship. And even typically for women to orgasm, they need to be, you know, they always say, like, someone has to know my body, I have to know them for a while, and the sex isn't as great. What would you say about that?
I'd say that's true. I'd say that's true now, at the age I am now. I mean, when I was younger, I think the exciting thing about casual sex is the thrill of the chase. You know, you're out and you see someone and you spend the evening pursuing them and flirting and you don't know and the back and forth and all that shit. And then by the time you actually do the deed, sometimes you're like, that was it?
Right,
like, really?
Exactly.
All that for that?
It's the adrenaline. It's the dopamine. It's that excitement. And then you get it. You're like,
right. And, you know, I mean, sometimes, it's just face it, first time sex can be awkward because you don't know each other's bodies and what you're into and whatnot. So where I am now, yeah, absolutely. When you're with someone and you know them and you trust them and they know how to turn you on and get you off and all these things, they know what works for you. That kind of chemistry, that's definitely better.
Okay.
I think it's better. Yeah, I usually will have sex on the first date and it's almost always awful. Like, it's just, it doesn't ever work out. The best sex I've ever had is like 2 years into a 4-year relationship.
Right. Because you're more comfortable. You're talking about it.
Right.
You want.
You know each other.
Okay. So Jordan and Justin, like, so when you're with someone new the first time, like, you guys probably think it's always awesome the first time. No? I mean, like,
no.
I forgot. No?
I say 90%
like,
of the time it's kind of bad.
Really? The first time?
Yeah. Unless you either.
Why is it bad? What makes it bad?
They're just not. The ones I've been with are not as comfortable as where, like, my friends with benefits. I am very open to a lot of things and I like being as active as possible and move, like, very crazy. Oh, let's watch an important. Okay, let's copy that. But like, if you do, you can't really pull that out on the first night because most girls aren't as comfortable because like
Justin
you just
does
met each other.
Hey,
Justin, let's go somewhere after this.
I know.
I'm not kidding. The first time I went to it, he was like having a party. It was like just big, huge porn screen. I'm like, hey, and my friends were like, anyway, I was just talking to friends. Justin, the guy with the porn. It's just that's what you're known for. And
okay.
You're like a legend.
It's a porn
but
guy.
Here's my question for you
Wonderful.
Though. So what you're saying to me then is the first you have these one night stands, and then. So the sex isn't as great. So you have to wait for the 2-month mark till it gets more comfortable, but then it's over. So you got to keep starting over again.
Yeah. I mean,
that's okay though.
It is
yeah,
what
right?
it is.
You'll
yeah,
take it.
I'll take it.
So, what are the crazy moves and things that you want to try after like you've known him for a while? Crazy.
I'm a big
different.
Fan of like a pull-up bar.
A pull-up bar?
Oh. Yeah, like over the door and just getting some crazier like
your pull-up bar that you're doing like
yeah, and like I, you know, so a synchronized swimmer or in a gymnast who is very flexible, that's very interesting.
Wait,
whereas most people, girls are, you know, fine with just laying on their backs or just being riding.
But like
top.
You pull, I'm just trying to understand.
No,
like,
I hold them.
The pull-up bar. Can we back up to the?
Yeah, let's go.
Who's on the bar in this?
The girl is most often on the bar.
Okay.
And it's more.
She's like this, hanging on the bar.
Yeah, or we'll like, I'll hold them up as anything's happening, or I'll lower the bar down.
Can you like so go you can, down it? Like, so maybe that's a good way. Do
yeah.
you perform oral sex on these women? Oh my God.
Most of the time.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Most of the time. I'm like, you know, you give, I give. I'm all for that.
But she has to give first?
Not necessarily.
But usually.
We'll go 60-40.
Okay. 60-40. Because my friend, he says Tinder's like a blowjob dispensary. He's like, every girl just gives a blowjob on the first date. Lori's nodding. Is that what you do?
I mean, absolutely. The thing is, like, most of my relationships have started as casual sex, and then they turn into, like, a super serious relationship, so...
Because you must give a killer blowjob.
I really do, yeah, and I learned more
last night. We saw last night, oh my God, I gave a blowjob workshop, and she was my model on the dildo, and it was pretty impressive, I just have to say.
Thank you. She stole
the show. Tara, how about you with sex and being, I don't know, oral? Like, do you feel like... I'm going to ask you about oral sex.
Okay.
Do you find that men you've been with, they need more direction? Do they perform oral sex on you right away, or do you feel like they're waiting for you to give a blowjob first?
I find most men love performing oral sex. Only a couple times in my life have I come across men that are like, it's not my thing, which, you know, deal breaker. Sorry.
Right. No, I agree. I totally agree.
It's not something I require every day. But I like it, and I like performing it, but I'm definitely not that girl who does it on the first date or even right away.
Intimate.
It is intimate. I want to do it when I like someone, you know?
Right.
I gotta like a guy, but then I'm into it.
If you like him, then you like your penis. What were you gonna say, Justin? Were you gonna say something about?
Oh, no, I just feel the need to sort of back up a little bit here and talk about, you know, like for me, what a casual encounter is all the long-term relationships that I've ever had have started as casual encounters. But for me, a casual encounter has to be an encounter with someone with whom you have a connection and you feel a strong attraction.
Right.
And that's not just physically, oh, you're hot, but wow, I really dig your mind and we're like clearly vibing on each other. And typically when that happens and it's undeniable, then you're just going to rip each other's clothes off right away anyway. So it kind of happens quickly.
Right.
So this idea of sort of casual relationships, I guess by the definition of, oh, I don't really know that person very well, but I'm going to hook up with them and have sex with them. That's not something that I do.
Okay. So you really have to have that. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, for me, I haven't had a ton of, just random casual. I know, believe it or not. I mean, I've had maybe a few one nights. Not many. Like, because I typically, for me, I have to have like that connection. Like, I agree, right. Intellectual and physical, and then it can move into something else. But yeah, I can't and I guess if you're really drunk, maybe. But I don't get that drunk. I think if I was a bigger drinker, I'd have more of those stories.
Totally.
I've never had a one night stand.
Right.
Ever.
I'm surprised.
They're overrated.
You got to work on that.
They're overrated.
Jordan, what about you? Yeah. Do you care? Is it more like hot chick at the bar? Like you don't really care? You'd rather not talk? It's okay.
I go 18 to 60. That's like if you fall in that range, we're good
age,
to go.
Age 18 to 60?
Yeah. I'm not as picky. Like it's more of like, oh, if I've made eye contact, I can sell like, oh, you're looking like you're interested. It's like, okay, I'll go over, say some cheeky banter, blah, 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 moving forward, and then go from there.
So for you, it sounds like it's kind of about the conquest.
Sounds like a lot of work.
That's what I
mean. It is work. I mean, hey,
so much work.
I'm exhausted just listening to it.
I mean, whether it's doing that at the bar or swiping right on the apps, like, you're doing work. It's just how much you want to put in, and then what's the result?
Okay, but have you ever had one of these where you're like, oh, God, I really... Well, clearly not. I liked her, but not.
No,
I think that your emotion
that
thing
plateau,
is
yeah.
like
emotion very low.
Have you had therapy before?
Oh, too many years.
Really? Okay. I just feel like there needs to be like a break. But you'll have, you know, you're 20. Here's the thing, though.
Oh, I
don't charge you at all. You're 25.
Yeah.
Like I almost feel like I wish that I've made up for it in the years, but I'm saying in my 20s, it was like relationship, you know. And I'm not saying there's a better, worse way to do it, but right now you're just having fun. And so how about blowjobs? Let's get into blowjobs.
How about blowjobs?
Hey.
How about those blowjobs?
Okay.
Sorry.
Did you want to go back to the emotional connection? No, I like that Justin tried to make it deeper. Justin, you've really grown into a man. Because you actually, I remember when I met you when I started doing my show, and you did actually, which I'll never forget, gave me your 3 tips for a great blowjob.
That's right.
And
do you still remember them?
I do.
Yeah.
It was technique.
Sure.
Enthusiasm,
yeah,
and how she looks while she's doing it.
Correct.
I don't know. That was like a show in 2006 I was doing. but do you still, and how often do you come across good blowjobs these days?
Well, on a per encounter basis, like percentage, I would say maybe 70% good.
Okay. You know? Yeah. All right. And Jordan, what about you?
I'm up there, like 60, 70.
Is it like pizza, though? Like, there's no such thing as bad pizza? Like a blowjob?
Oh, no.
There is bad pizza.
Okay, what is a bad
Definitely.
There are bad blowjobs.
What's a bad blowjob?
Well, any one of the... Take away any
one. What makes a blowjob not as enjoyable?
So number one, the most important thing is enthusiasm and passion on her part. She's... Pardon my French, but worship the cock.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where she's like, loves it, is totally into it. If she's shy and tepid and a little scared and unsure, it kind of makes you feel uncomfortable because it's like, well, you know, you've got my cock in your mouth, but right. you're unsure about it. There's something just instantly unsexy about that.
That's true. I always say that enthusiasm, we talked about this last night in my workshop, that I've always said it and I knew I agreed with you with your things, some of them. I don't know if I'm that order, but I think enthusiasm is number one. That even for oral sex, a guy, we don't want anyone between our legs who's like kind of, you know, their eyes are rolling back in their head and they're checking their phone. Like, we want to know that they're into it, that they want to be there, especially when like a guy's going down on you too. Or like the 2 seconds he goes down and you're like, wasn't that enough? I'm sticking my penis. I'm like, are you kidding? Like,
no, one of those guys that I ran into years ago, it was somebody who really wanted to date me and he wasn't into oral sex, but he's like, I'll try it for you because that's how much you liked me. But right. Yeah. Exactly. You're 2 seconds, and I'm like, oh, just go, just get out.
Yeah,
of
he's
there.
Like, I'm just gonna like, lick you. I'm gonna make it wet enough so I can stick my penis inside you. Like, that's not oral sex.
It's obvious you're not into this, and no.
So, next. What makes good oral sex? For you,
my number one thing when receiving oral is that it's so important not to just go right for the clit. Like, the buildup. If I could tell every guy that's ever gone down on me and ever will, like, please. Please maintain some sort of suspense and build up. And then it'll come like that. But if you like
I'm gonna second that.
Yeah, if you start fast, then you have nowhere to go and you just won't ever come.
Right. We talked about this for 2 hours last night during the workshop. You can't go right for the clit. Like, that's, I get that you learned what the clit is, and I'm so happy that you got
it.
You gotta hold back. You gotta do some massaging around the vulva, yes.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say with when it comes to the blowjobs, also just apply pressure, man.
Nothing
is worse when you have no pressure on it at all.
Yeah, it's true.
It's basically just floating around in your mouth.
Very, very true. No, I'm serious, you guys. That was one of my top 5 tips last night for blowjobs, that if you just are too soft, like, you have to think about, you're mimicking a vagina. You're mimicking their hand, so you have to have that much pressure.
I want my penis like in a vacuum, not a cloud. You know?
Right. That's a good one, man.
Well, I think fundamentally, male and female anatomy and what feels good are kind of on other ends of the spectrum, where, you know, a penis is pretty much resilient and pretty, like, bulletproof. Like, you can squeeze it, whack it, you know, they're tough. They're tough. Right. And they kind of require a lot of, you know, pressure and effort. Whereas, you know, a woman's vagina is anything but.
Right, exactly. Softer, lighter touches. Jordan's like, vagina, what?
That's why vagina is considered flower, penis is wood.
Exactly.
We're very different items.
We are very, very different. So I have a question for you guys. Do you think that men and women have different expectations for casual and sex partners? Like, do you feel like that it's the same? Like, what are your expectations from someone, really? Is it just like, return my call at 11 o'clock at night because we're going to hook up? Or do you feel like it gets more complicated with the casual sex part?
We make it complicated. I don't even know if it's necessarily even a man-woman thing. It's like an individual thing. Every single person has different expectations and different wants and needs and requirements and whatever, and issues and, you know, mental blocks, whatever they have when it comes to sex. And you don't know what you're getting into. You just hope that it's going to sort of mesh with yours so that it can last as long as it can, and usually it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So what about, do you think that women are... I don't know, like, you've all these casual relationships, but if they start getting, or the women like, come on, I want you to meet my parent, like, does that ever happen? Or like, where were you Friday night? Like, the second they're, what happens?
Not really. That's why I try and preface it as much as possible. Like, I will continue to say, even after, like, we've had sex, I'm like, look, like, this was very fun. We may do it once more twice, but like, this is going nowhere. I try and be as straightforward as possible because I've seen the other girls that, like, I'm friends with being led on by these assholes, like, oh, you know, we might have a relationship or whatnot, but in the end it's the same stuff. They just want to have sex with you as long as possible and then cut out when they realize, like, oh wow, like, I have to meet the family now, I'm right. done. So like, I try and be as honest and straightforward as possible, and I feel that me doing that, they could be lying straight to my face, I don't know, but with that it works better for at least me.
Can I ask you a question? Any of these women that you hook up with, that you have sex with, do you really, do you like them as people?
Sometimes.
You really don't. You don't want to hang out with them the next day. You're like, don't let the door hit you in the ass.
No, I try and I leave. I'm not more of like, try and bring it to their turf. They're more comfortable. And it's like, if worst case scenario, if I do stay over that night, yes, I will get a food with you. I'm not going to be a complete dick about it.
Is there like friendly pillow talk afterward? Where are you like,
yeah, you want to watch some Friends? Like, I got some time.
It's just available.
Do you like
on Netflix.
Women?
Yes, I do.
You do. You like? No, I think that's a good point though. Like, but you're not finding like, you're not talking to them about like feelings or things you like or emotions.
Like, I know my emotions and feelings scale is very low for right now, and like there is that side eventually that can come out, but right now, like you said, it's my 20s. Like, I don't even want to consider having a relationship. Like, there's too many beers out there in the world. I want to try a lot of them before I even consider, like, oh wow, that's my favorite beer. Like, let's look up for that and see what she brought to the table and try and find that again.
Did you find a nice hoppy one that you just let go?
I mean, yeah, I think eventually you're going to, there's going to be something that will happen. But, you're very honest about this.
I appreciate that because I meet people online sometimes, like half and half like you, and oftentimes they'll say, like, looking for a relationship. And I meet them and they talk to me as if they're looking for a relationship. They give me unsolicited compliments and love. And then act like how you're talking, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And also, so if someone were to say, this is never going anywhere, it's only sex, I'd be like, yes, thank you so much for letting me know.
But don't you also run into a lot of women that absolutely don't believe you when you're saying all this stuff?
Yes. Yeah, that it's tough to convince them. And like, yeah. I'm like, look, I'm not lying to you. Like, please understand, because I've been down this road
you're
too
like,
many
here's
times.
Testimonials yeah, from girls. Like,
let me just call
you
my friend real
the
quick.
Website.
Yeah. It would be easy, but there is definitely resistance.
Do you have like burner phones that you have to throw away? Disposable.
I mean,
phones.
What?
Just keep getting a new Google number, right?
Yeah. God, you guys, so funny. So is it? Tinder, you've used Tinder too. So do you find that people are saying, yes, I want it, and they don't? Laura, you're having that experience with that as well?
Absolutely. Over and over. I feel like maybe that's these guys' ways of like hooking a girl is to pretend like they're looking for a relationship when they're not.
Do you think that you might be projecting that too much right away and then they're like afraid of that? That
I feel like I go in pretty cautious because I know that I catch feelings. So I go in pretty.
Yeah, but do you think you project that? Like, oh, I'm really looking for, a solid relationship, like, too early on when getting to know somebody. Maybe you don't pick up on that, and then they get scared and run away.
Well, they don't run away,
it's like too
though.
Much, too fast.
They don't run away.
Well,
they just want to do everything
but the commitment.
Of course
they're not
going to
run away.
So I should not I should be dishonest about it?
No, I'm not saying don't
but
be dishonest.
Do you think she gets like needy
share.
And clingy?
Right. Is that it?
I don't want to say it. In
right,
that
but
way,
I just said
but,
it.
Yeah. But yeah, it might just like, whoa, this might be moving too fast for me. And then the guys.
But maybe I feel like they fully participate in the quick movement, though.
Yeah, I mean, any guy would.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
And the other thing is that we have to talk about the attachment thing. So the reason why I started out saying inherently, it is sort of like Justin was saying earlier, like it is kind of like I think how men have always wanted it. Maybe they've reluctantly gotten into relationships. But for women, it's biological. We have the oxytocin. We get attached after we have sex and an orgasm with someone. We get attached. Many women do. And so it's interesting because men also have the oxytocin that spikes. It spikes, but then it drops. That's why you fall asleep right after. But women are like, oh my God. That's why I always say it's best. I mean, I don't have rules, wait 3 months. But if you actually like someone, like you like one of these guys, let's say, I would say withhold, like not withhold, but wait to have sex. Wait to see if you actually really like them. Because what happens is when women, a lot of women have sex too soon, then they can't see the red flags waving in the distance, I would say, because they're just attached to the sex part. So the more longer you wait to have sex with someone, you actually get to learn more about the person, their character. Do they have, are they a good person?
I want to have sex, though.
I know, but like, honey, I've given you so many vibrators at this point.
I know. Just let Emily open a closet and show you her arsenal of things that will hold you over for a while.
She knows. She's it's like my office. So I'm curious too. So here's another thing. little study here that I just wanted to, it was kind of going back to that. It says, this is what it says, is that, I'm going to find this. It was just more about how women just have a harder time, like I was saying, with attachment. And, okay, forget it, doesn't matter. Because, okay, wait, in 1989, okay, the stigma has gotten better, but it still exists. The stigma with, like, having sex too soon or whatever, if men are judging women, especially for women. So in 1989, study asked male and female participants if they would engage in sex with a stranger, if propositioned. 70% of men said yes, compared with 0% of women. This is in 1989. 2012, a new research discovered that women said no for two reasons. So they're still saying no. Number one, they don't want to be labeled as a slut. So there's still like this labeling thing. And they don't think the sex would be very good, like we talked about it. Because really, is the sex that great on the first, like we were saying? Like, the guys are good. You guys are like, it's not so bad the first. It gets better, but.
No, like I said before, I think one-night stands are overrated. They are. You don't really know what you're getting
into. It's more about like the chase and the excitement and all that. So this, another report was casual sex has been seen as a male activity for some time. A recent poll from Self magazine says that women do enjoy the anonymous hookup. It analyzed responses of 2,000 unattached women between the ages of 18 and 63. Jordan, that might have been someone that you just hooked up with. and found that 82% of them have engaged in casual sex. So I just think there's like a shelf life and it can't go on forever. But maybe we need to alter our behaviors if we are looking for something serious. So I'm going to have you guys help me answer an email real quick. Anything else you want to say?
No. I'm waiting for the emails. You know I love those.
I know, you guys. We're going to do a little roundtable answer of an email here. You guys are awesome. Is there anything else you guys wanted to say about... See, anything else you guys want to say about casual sex or the relationships or anything you want to add? I think it's awesome. Very helpful.
Wait, I wanted to note from Jordan, do you think that if a woman has a high number of sexual partners in her history, that makes her like slutty? Does that turn you off to her?
No, I'm absolutely not one to judge. If anything, like if you have a higher number, it's easier for me to identify with you because I know you've been through this almost as many times as I have.
Yeah, there's a few guys. I don't think a large majority of guys that actually care. Don't you think it's just, I hate to say it because I'm going to get an email, but do you think a lot of it is just women judging other women thinking that they're sluts?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big part
I think
of
it's
it.
Men too, though. No, I think this is actually a really good point.
But I'm not saying that guys don't say that, but I feel like a large majority of guys do not care. And it's just other women judging each other, saying that they're sluts.
I think there's a double
rap about them.
Yeah.
I think the double standard still exists.
Because here's the thing, there's the guys who are like, first of all, let me just say this. Don't ever talk about your number with your partner. They ask, I don't care. Like it's like a don't ask, don't tell.
Don't even know your number.
Don't even, exactly. What's forget that? Your number. I don't know, right? Don't know your number. That's actually a good point. But this conversation never ends well because, first of all, why do we need to know that? And either the person might judge you and think, God, she's a slut or he's a, you know, whatever, been with so many people, or God, they don't have enough experience and they, you know, either way, it doesn't end well. But I also do think I know some guys who are like, if I know her number and she's been with too many people, then I don't want to be with her. Like, because that I want someone, like, it's kind of the Madonna whore thing. Like, I want to bang her, but she's not the woman I want to sleep with. And then there's some guys who are like, I like that you've experienced. Like, I appreciate that. And so I just think, just don't friggin' talk about it. It's my thing. Well, because it's not important.
Or do talk about it. And if you're a woman who has a higher number and you're perfectly comfortable with your sexuality and your behaviors and it's healthy in your own mind and a guy is turned off by that number, well, guess what? That's not the guy for you.
Exactly. But I just also think it's good to talk about like what you like. All this, I always see people don't talk about sex enough. The thing is like, talk about what you like, what you don't like, but to sit and go like, I had sex with 226 people. Like it's just not an interesting, it doesn't get you anywhere. It's just so people can find information that is usually not helpful. Okay, an email. Ready. Hey, Emily. I would love to hear your views about the hypocrisy in Hollywood regarding sex and specifically casual sex. I read the headlines around the current Bachelorette being vilified for having casual sex on a reality show. While I do despise reality TV and have never watched the show, talk about a double standard. Sex and one-night stands are so sensationalized in fake movies and TV shows.
Exactly what I was saying. Okay. Who are making these comments? So I guarantee you, if I go on Twitter, who is calling her a slut? I can probably break down the numbers for you. And yeah. I guarantee you, a large majority of the people talking ish on The Bachelor
are women.
Are women.
Right. Well, that's the majority of people watching, I think, that show. I don't think you have a lot of heterosexual guys watching the best.
Tons of guys. Guys are obsessed with that. Yeah,
really? I know, you can't avoid it. It's also on the news, too. So guys are gonna comment on it also.
Oh, you can avoid it.
You do have a point, though. You do have a point.
Yeah.
I will give you that as far as women. But I think it just comes back to that competition factor between women. You know, it comes down to that. And
I'm glad that you admit it because I try to bring this up all the time. I go, why must there always be, I'm not saying all women, but negative comments about a woman crossing the street? Like,
because it's self-esteem. Women bash other women because it makes them feel better about themselves.
I know.
And I think it's horrible. I really try. I mean, I never do. I don't talk about people. But most women do.
No woman ever looked at a mannequin in lingerie and said, what a slut.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like it's got to be a real person that poses a threat to them, and that's a
maybe too. Technique. It's they're jealous. Right. Maybe I don't know the situation other than what I've read, but maybe they're like, "Damn, I wish I could just have a one nighter with a hot guy and not be judged."
Yeah. Right. It's self esteem, it's jealousy, it's competition, and they're actually seeing it on TV. So it's they're
so
like.
What was the question specifically?
Well, I didn't finish. I didn't finish the question. So talk about double standards. Sex and one night stands are so sensationalized in fake movies and TV shows every day. But when a real person has casual sex, it's right back to she's a slut. The same people that made Kim Kardashian a household name after a sex tape are slamming this person. Thoughts? Adam from Chicago.
Well, I don't necessarily think that's true. I mean, I think that's kind of the thesis of this whole show is that it's not like it used to be where if somebody, you know, it was discovered that they were having casual sex that, oh, you know, a woman is a slut. I think that is changing. So I don't necessarily agree with that.
But apparently everyone's been vilifying this bachelorette. Is that true, right?
Yeah, I mean, all in all the entertainment news.
The one that you want to bang.
Stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, they pretty much just...
Caitlin, right?
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much just read, you know, what the internet feedback is on social media.
Well, let's be honest. We're not talking about real people, real life. This is a television show, and the whole artifice of this show is so maddening to me because... You're going to give people 5-15 minutes over the course of an entire series to spend time together, and they're supposed to decide if they're supposed to effing get married?
Yeah,
give me a break.
Not even on that part.
It's absurd. So
just if you break down the situation that they're commenting about, that happens on a day-to-day basis, not even in front of a camera, you know?
That's true.
So, but with reality TV, there's just so much more fodder for it now that you're like, what you feel like.
So there's so many people that can jump in and comment on it.
I think it's just human nature that people either need to jump on bandwagons because they need to feel a part of something and part of a community,
or
they need to take sides because they need to feel like they're on a team. Mm-hmm. It really just boils down to people wanting to belong. So they want to like chime in because then they're saying the same thing as this guy, and that means they fit in with that crowd.
Yep.
And.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to my mom about this actually last week when it came out, and she had an interesting view in the sense that she views The Bachelorette as a fantasy romance. So in a romance, typically, you don't have that one-night stand leading up to it. It's more like, oh, it's a build-up, and then that special night and the fantasy suite, that's why like they usually wait till it. And the fact that you shouldn't have to deny the attraction you feel. I don't care if it's a first date, 50th date. If you feel it and you want it, go for it. And it's just because they're so used to it for 20 seasons or whatever that it's been just this romantic, you know, whole buildup.
It's like modern-day like Cinderella.
Yeah.
It's like all these men like courting you and stuff.
I just think the backlash is completely unnecessary, and I'm pro Caitlyn hooking up with whoever she wants, including myself.
So you guys, we definitely do
contact
see...
Contact the show. Exactly. Feedback@sexwithelmy.com.
Right. So I guess we definitely see... I mean, I guess... And I would love to hear from my listeners, women and men, what you think about this too, because I just wonder if... You know, who's having a hard time with it? Because this is clearly a trend. This is clearly what's happening in their 20s. You say more so than not, because we've kind of have a split room here that's what people are doing. Like they are, like that's, they're going into it thinking it's casual beyond a relationship. And, you know, a lot of studies are common, you know, wisdom or knowledge is that women like can't handle it and they're actually going along with what men want. And so they've kind of socialized to think like, well, none of my friends are wanting relationships now. And I'm just wondering if it's, you know,
it's
going to shift, if there'll be a backlash, everyone's going to have herpes. So, you know,
I think it's really healthy because, you know, you've got now, it used to be the only option was, okay, if you're going to sleep with somebody, it better be pretty serious. And if you're sleeping with them, well, then you get in a relationship and there's a path that's going to take into a relationship and marriage and whatever. And I think it's really refreshing that this is at least a viable option that gives people, like you say, that waiting period, which is so important to really get to know somebody because you don't know somebody for like a year, even if you live with
them. A year and a half, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
So it's at least it's an option because if you have a series of casual encounters, well, you never know which one's going to stick And one of them might surprise you and my God, I actually really like this person and they're really growing on me, you know, and the more I learn about them, the more I like and the more I'm attracted to them. And that's, I think that's the healthiest approach to finding a real solid relationship.
Yeah. So maybe it is a good trend. People should be using more protection, but also, yeah, I think it's because the other alternative was like our friends, like we were saying, Tara, in our small towns, you got married to the first guy they slept with, the second or third. Most of my friends who got married 25 had like four partners, which mm-hmm. to me is like, mm-hmm. you know, they got married.
Inevitable, right?
I had like four last week. No, just kidding. I've not been having a lot of sex lately. I'm just going to say that. But no, but I'm, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's really it, but that's a different thing. So yeah, Rob, you're good. You're loving Rob.
Well, he's living the life of a
Jordan.
20-year-old.
I don't even know why I didn't
he's
sleep.
He's living
right
the life of a 20-year-old, though.
You're kind of rocking it, yeah. Jordan, right? Like you're
trying to hold it down.
But you know, when you get to be old folks like us,
yeah,
well, you're going to realize it's too much work, and you're going to find somebody cool.
It's true.
Calm down.
I admire what you're doing because you are honest. But exactly, someday it does sound like
okay.
I'm sorry. I keep asking questions of Jordan.
No,
I find it fascinating. So where is your quality scale? So your age scale is 18 to 60. Mm-hmm. What is the quality scale like on 1 to 10? Like, do we discriminate? Yeah. I mean, are we
Do they have a full set of teeth?
It's like George Carlin once said, "I never banged a 10, but one night I fucked 5 twos."
Yeah. I just go with the motto: everyone likes to be taken care of, and I don't really, you know, you might have a.
So you find you're not super
he's
discriminating.
An equal opportunity.
That's the best way. Equal opportunity employer.
Very so generous not with
one,
his penis.
Okay, you don't have like a type or anything. One thing that attracts you.
No.
All right.
Wow.
So literally, like you'd bang almost anyone in here.
I'd say yes to
maybe all of them. Yeah, got it. We're gonna wrap the show, so you can do whatever you want. Justin, yeah. Is there anything you want to plug? Your website.
No, not at this. Not at this moment.
Not at this moment. Anyone else? Anyone? Okay. Well, okay. Justin, Jordan, Tara, Lori, Menace, you rock.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to say?
No. Well,
find
me on Twitter and Instagram. Just Menace, MENACE. And so I don't fill my timeline with dog photos. My dog has his own Instagram. My dog Churro. Follow.
My dog Churro. Okay, I'm going to follow it and I'm going to post all of that. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you, Madison, for amazing show, for producing. And also follow us, you guys, because, you know, we give some good social media stuff too. So check me out on Instagram and Twitter. It's @SexWithEmily and Facebook.com/SexWithEmily. Anything else that we got to talk about, Madison? All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@SexWithEmily.com. One more time. Okay, you guys, here's the dealio. If you want to have better sex and you want to spice things up in the bedroom, then you need one of Emily and Tony's massage candles. I've been talking about them for probably about a year and a half now, but it's interesting because everyone who buys them freaks out about them because there's really nothing like this. So candles, great. We all like candles, or we should, I think. I hate those bright lights when you're having sex with someone. It sets a great atmosphere in the bedroom, but these candles are super special because they actually, you light them, they smell amazing, aromatherapy, and then they turn into the most luxurious massage oil that is not wax, okay, people? I'm not asking you to get into some hardcore play here that you don't want to. It's actually warm oil that you pour in your partner's body, and you give them a luxurious massage, and one of my listeners emailed me that my girlfriend was skeptical at first, but agreed to try the warm oil on me first, gave me a back rub, then I reciprocated, and we had amazing sex. She cannot stop talking about how good the candle smells and how great the massage oil feels, and I'm convinced that the scent and the candle helped us through some of the barriers to sex that we have faced lately. So let's face it, you guys, massage is a great gateway to intimacy. So check out the candles. Go to emilyandtony.com anytime. Use code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. That's emilyandtony.com. Use code SEXWITHEMILY. Thanks for listening.
You know, when people start having public conversations with the psychotic voices in their own heads, well, you either get them a straitjacket or a podcast. For Phil Hendry, we chose podcast.
Hi, this is Phil Hendry.
Which seems to be the right decision, because since the world of Phil Hendry debuted at Podcast One, his audience has doubled. Or was that the number of weird characters in his head?
Well, I hope you're not referring to me. You better not be referring to me.
Download a new episode of The World of Phil Hendry every friggin' day.
I thought it'd be interesting.
Right here at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.